If you will, please take out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. With all this talk we've been doing about spiritual authority, there is such a thing involved in that whole plan called our reputation. We'll deal with that a little bit today. The thing I'd like for you to understand about this whole idea about being obedient to Christ is for us to be able to do what God is wanting us to do and to be what God is wanting us to be. We have to understand who God is. If we see Him as He is, as He truly is, that is the thing apparently that motivates us to be what we ought to be, to be obedient to Him in everything. So it's a two-part program. First, you got to understand who you're following. And then you got to understand yourself. And when you see God as He really is, and the way the Bible describes Him, and you realize who you really are, the contrast will impress you into doing anything He asks you to do. An interesting point is this, and we fall into that trap here on this earth. This is not about going to church. This is not about having a perfect attendance record. This is about you and Jesus, whether you're sitting in church or not. This is about the relationship you have with our Savior. That through Him we can worship God. It's the same thing. But we do all our business from this earth to the throne room of heaven as far as Jesus is concerned and the work of the Holy Spirit. Too many of God's people today don't understand the Holy Spirit and what its proper place is in the whole scheme of God. And they don't understand where the church lays in it. Because you see, the church is not where you go to on Sunday morning. The church is inside of you. Wherever you go, it goes with you. The place where you go on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or wherever it is you go is what is called the church house, the meeting place. It's kind of like a filling station. You don't need to go there unless you got low gas. That's where you go to get refilled, to top your tank off, to be able to leave out and do all the things that you need to do. But it's a place God wants us. And He tells us, don't quit going. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 16, look at that if you will. Jesus says, "He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me." And he that despises me despises him that sent me. Do you see what he assumes here? He says, if you're not listening to one of my people, you're not listening to me. And if you're not listening to me, you're not listening to the one that sent me. So you've missed out on everything. This thing of delegated authority is exactly what he's talking about here. God first had to equip Jesus to do the work. Then Jesus had to equip us. And then we as the church spread to the world what has been told to us and we believe. So it's a process. But God did his job. Jesus has done his job. And now we're to do our job. And to make sure that people that don't know about Jesus Christ and salvation will get to know what's going on. We see here in this verse that God backs up what we say. As long as we say what God wants us to say, then God is behind everything we say, right? And as we walk around here on this earth representing God, God brings certain circumstances to bear on our lives and the people who hear us that bring about his promises about what he's going to do with what we say. A Christian should have two senses. There should be two things that we don't have to worry about when somebody says they're a Christian. One of them is a sense of sin. Do you know what sin is? Do you recognize it when you see it? Doesn't matter who's doing it. Is it sin or is it not sin? Because we have to know and try every spirit that's put in front of us to where we recognize what is and what's not God's will for us. And then we need a sense of authority. What do we do about that decision we've just made? See, think about it for a moment. Now, sometimes we get sidetracked. Well, I went to church this morning. Well, how'd it go? Oh, they were real nice, you know. Everybody was just in a good mood this morning. But folks, let me tell you something. As you mingle around and you go about your way during the week, and every one of us has got a different way, we are faced with all kinds of situations. And people are watching us. They want to know what we think about so many things. And so many times, they're embarrassed to ask us. So they watch. You would probably be surprised how many people are watching what you do every week and how you do it. We have to be very, very careful living as this outward believer in Jesus Christ. And it all fits. Jesus tells us we've got to watch every word we say because somebody's listening. And we're to be held accountable for every word we say. A really cool song now. I just heard it a couple of weeks ago for the first time. The title of it's Little Ears. Little eyes and little ears, little hands and feet. and watching everything you do and every word you speak. Well, there's some ears that are listening and some eyes that are watching that are not too little either. There are people who know something about you and your association with the church. And they assume with your association with Jesus Christ. That's what we assume sometimes too much. That if somebody's car is parked in front of the church, they must know a lot about Jesus. And they take some direction in their lives off of you because of what you're doing and the decisions you're making. Based on what I've just said, do you know this morning where you stand? Do you know where you stand with Jesus? Do you have an idea where you stand in the community? Do you have any idea about what your word is worth, what your reputation is worth for those around you? Because we've got an obligation to represent Jesus Christ on this earth. And each one of us need to know where we stand. If somebody asks us the question, does a little thought pop in here and say, oh, I'm going to have to be careful how I answer this. You realize the importance of the answer because your words matter. And we got to live like that every day. Satan is afraid of your obedience. You see, that's a pretty complicated subject. Because we've already heard about dead works in the book of Hebrews, where people who are doing things they think are for God, and they think they're going to get a reward for it, and God doesn't have anything to do with it. They chose what they were going to do, and they thought God would be pleased with it. So obedience is the only way we can do the thing that God wants done. And that's what scares Satan. As long as we out here stirring around, a lot of activity at the church and whatever, we think we're doing what God wants us to do. The thing that scares Satan to death is our obedience. Because not only do we do the thing that God wants, we do what he tells us to do, and the Bible says that we don't know how to do it right anyhow. So the only way you can know what to do and how to do it the way God wants it done is to listen to him in whatever we do. That gets to be a pretty serious matter. When we are asking the Holy Spirit what decisions to make in our lives, when we are only acting in obedience to God and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we're doing the things that Jesus wants us to do, and that is Satan's downfall. That is the thing that gets him. All we have to do with Satan is to turn a deaf ear to what he tells us to do, and he goes somewhere else. But the only way we can do that is to make every decision based on what God says do. We need to be so very careful. As simple Christians, I thought about when Jesus sent the 70 out, two by two, the disciples, to do his work. And they came back together. And they were all so excited because they realized that they had the power over Satan's forces inside of people. They could bring devils out of people. And they were all bragging about the things they had done. And I think it was so very significant that when they came back and he heard what they were saying, that he made the mention to them of this. You may very well boast of being in control of the devil's world inside of people, but what you ought to be bragging about is your name is written in heaven. That's as simple as it is. If your name is written in heaven, Jesus is going to do the rest. That's the important thing. We've got to be so very careful down here and not take anything for granted, because it's us that God has chosen to do His work. And we can't assume anything. There is a public relations war going on in heaven for our reputation. You just think it's tough when somebody down here starts a rumor on your own Facebook, and you go to thinking about how many people know about it, and you get so embarrassed about it. And then we find out that Satan is visiting the throne room of God on a regular basis and accusing you and me of doing things that are wrong. And Jesus has to listen to all that. You remember the first book of Job, first chapter of Job? God just bragged on Job a little bit, and Satan says, "You give him to me, and I'll make him cuss you." That's what Satan does. God asked him, "What are you doing on earth?" He said, "I'm just going back and forth." He didn't say, "Seeking whom I can to devour like a lion," but that's what was told on him. That's what he does. And he's constantly telling bad stuff on us. And sometimes, like Job, we have to prove that we're not what Satan says, that we're what God says, and that our intentions are good, and that we really want to do the right thing. But how you and I reflect what kind of reputation we have every day down here on this earth matters to our God. Sometimes we don't think about that side of our life. In Revelation chapter 12, there's an interesting little three or four verses here. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels." So see, some of the angels were taken up with Satan too. "And they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." God decided not to let them stay there. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," salvation through Jesus Christ, "and by the word of their testimony." What you say when people approach you about Jesus Christ. "And they love not their lives unto the death." You remember what said in John? To deny yourself and follow after Christ. You do what Jesus did. You say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. He went to that extent to do that. That's the way that Satan is overcome today. By salvation, by our testimony before people who don't know him, and our willingness not to worry about ourselves, but to go ahead and do whatever God has called us to do. The whole program is right there in a nutshell. Satan's power is established by those who do not keep their place. When we fail the position that we claim to be in, when we use words that we shouldn't use, when we deny being who Jesus died to make us be, we create a bad reputation for ourselves. And what does he say in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 3? Offend no one in anything, Paul says, lest the ministry be blamed. You know when you get out and act like you're not supposed to act, the church is going to get the blame for it. Turn to Matthew 18. Last scripture we'll look at. Matthew 18. There's a situation here that, and the verse has been misunderstood so long. It's been used over and over again in the wrong place. This doesn't have to do with church. This has to do with your life every day out walking to and fro on across the earth. It has to do with a neat phrase I ran into this week, the affairs of men. What does that mean? Your affairs. It means your dealings with other people. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, this is Jesus talking now. He's talking about our everyday life down here, about a new thing they got going now that run you down on Facebook. And people are killing themselves because of it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You don't tell anybody else. You go and tell him. He's the one that caused the problems with you. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Man, I'm sorry. I had no idea that you felt this way. I didn't understand what I'd done. But I apologize. Will you please forgive me? Well, you've restored a friend. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Before this gets out and the gossipers get a hold of it and start making it different than what it really is, you immediately get you two couple of guys to go with you, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, and you carry them back to the guy, and you repeat the same thing you did there when you were by yourself. But you bring them there so that they can hear what you say and what he says, so you'll have some witnesses to the occasion. And hopefully, if it's a person who offended you, who has any integrity, any pride at all, those other two people you bring with you will help put pressure on them to ask you for forgiveness. So that helps it go a little further. If he couldn't stand just you by yourself with a couple of witnesses, probably responsible people that you know, that will cause him to do what he should do. But if he neglects to hear them, if it doesn't matter because you brought a couple of people with him, tell it unto the church. That's when you report it to the church. You let the leadership of the church deal with it. But if he neglect to hear the church, if the church leaders come to him or her, and he doesn't give any response again, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican, or a tax collector, in other words, somebody that's against the law, a crook. Why? Now here's we're getting to the part I said it's been misunderstood. This is a situation. Maybe it's happened to you a lot of times in your life. It's happened to me a lot of times in my life. There's a lot of people I've had to go to and straighten things out. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You've got a decision to make about this person who you're crossways with. You've got to seek God's will and try to get it straightened out. And it's going to work one way or another. And when you are through with an issue, either you're going to treat them like a heathen and a publican, or you're going to have a friend restored. But either way, you're going to have to make decisions. And the thing you may not know, the thing you may think is so unimportant you hadn't even thought about, whatever you decide is the outcome of this issue, God backed you up. I was asked a couple of weeks ago about a statement that I made several weeks ago about the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians and verse 6, I believe, that God considers it a righteous thing to bring tribulation on people who bother his saints, who trouble his saints. Folks, we've got to understand that we are so important in heaven that our name written in the book of life is so important to our Jesus that when somebody messes with us, our daddy's going to get them. That's just what I think about when I read that verse. You mess with me and my daddy's going to get you. But I can't get you. If I try to do it, God's going to back off. But that is the status that born-again believers have with Jesus Christ this morning. And we don't even realize sometimes how much power we have. And the fact that however we decide a situation comes out, God backs it up. What we bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's how much power we have. Again, I say to you, he's making a point here that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of thy Father which is in heaven. You see what it says? God considers it a righteous thing to bring about all kinds of circumstances that he promised to bring about if anybody messes with you. And you have the say-so about what happens to it. Then he says in verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." I've heard that so many times talked about church. Well, where two or three are gathered. Well, if you know anything about salvation, if you know anything about the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you know anything about the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you ought to know that whenever you go to church, Jesus is there anyhow. He came with you through the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. There's no question about that. That doesn't have anything to do with church. It has to do outside where two Christians come together and one of them says, "Brother, I got a problem and I need some help. Would you go with me and talk to this guy?" Jesus says, whenever you're dealing with those problems out here in the world, two or three of you, I'm there too. You know I'm going to be in church, but I'm there too. And if you'll fix it like I tell you to fix it, then it'll be fine. Either way, it'll be fine. Whether the person you got a problem with is going to re-friend you or cuss you out and slam the door in your face. I'm telling you this, when you turn and walk away from that confrontation, you're going to be better. Either way he acts, you're going to be better. Because you're going to know you did what God asked you to do. But that's not done a lot today. But it's required of you as children of God and with that reputation that you carry to do the things that God tells you to do, and he will back you up. And whatever you say, whatever you decide, it will be backed up by our Lord. That is what spiritual authority is all about. You have the authority to go and do what God has directed that you do, and God will back you up. In matters of discernment, making decisions down here about what is right, about what is wrong, about what is good, is what is bad, or what should be done, or what should not be done, God trusts your judgment. Has anybody ever told you that? That's important, folks. It's not anything we play with. God honors our decisions on earth with circumstances that are promised from heaven. I've said it before. Please understand this simple thing called being born again, a child of God, a Christian, a person of the way, a born-again believer. is so very important in the life of a person who was created here on this earth. We don't treat it that way. We don't. It ought to be in our mind every time our mouth works that we're saying something that will help the reputation of Jesus Christ, who guides us in everything that we do. It prevents us from acting like people around us who do not know Jesus Christ. And so many times, that's the case. Jesus' folks wind up reacting to situations down here the same way that their unsaved people around them react to those situations. And that's not good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the instruction that you give us. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement it should be to each and every believer, that even when nobody's looking, that they need to be concerned about their reputation and the reputation of the one that called them. Because inevitably it all gets back to God. So Lord, with your grace, give us a big helping of it, that we can do the things we ought to do and be the person we ought to be. That Satan won't be able to tell the truth when he tries to make us out to be something that we're not. We thank you, Lord, for all this information. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.